Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to Let's Watch, the formal Shark Show all about movies, where we watch some obscure or topical kind of movie and review it afterwards. So, as we said, this time is Children of Men. It's the 2006 movie, directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
I can't really remember when I last had any hope, and I certainly can't remember when anyone else did either. Because really, since women stopped being able to have babies, what's left to hope for?
In 2027, in a chaotic world in which women have become somehow infertile, a former activist agrees to help transport a miraculously pregnant woman to a sanctuary at sea. So this is a movie from a few years back, 2006, and this time with us I've got Phil and Ian and myself, Phil Lloyd. We've just watched the movie, so what do you think?
It was fantastically bleak in that it was, you know, it didn't sort of, I didn't feel it pandered to the audience of the whole, you know, how a lot of sort of Hollywood movies sort of make it so it has to be all glitzy and glamorous and come to a full conclusion, because it let you, even at the very end, it didn't necessarily wrap it up into a nice ball. You don't know what the future is of it, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I really like that in a film.
Yeah.
And just to pick up on that, what you said about it, I like the realism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of movies where things just kind of go the way of the protagonist a lot of the time. And this film featured an awful lot of parts. The fact that his shoes kept getting destroyed or missing. Mm. A car chase sequence where the car won't start.
Yeah.
There were a lot of real life inconveniences.
Mm.
And I think they helped sell partly the bleakness of the film, which was intentional, I think, but they also helped to offset the occasional bits where you're thinking, actually, would they really get away with that? Would that actually manage to happen?
Yeah.
But there had been enough realistic moments that you allowed it to get away with those things.
Yeah, like you say, it makes it feel quite grounded and real and not your usual Hollywood blockbuster kind of movie.
And the other thing is, if you took the whole pregnancy thing, you know, the whole not get able to get pregnant, mm-hmm. this could be shot in 2 years' time,
you know? I think that's one of the biggest things about this movie. It's from, you know, what, 2006, it's, you know, 10 years old now. But it's probably even more true than when it was made 10 years ago. It's almost like it predicted the future.
My comment to you when you turned the film on after the first sort of 15 seconds of the movie,
yeah,
I was like, hang on, well, we're not watching a film, you just see we've turned the news on. Which, given that it's a dystopian future, was a little bit unnerving.
You know, it's not like we keep a load of people in camps and dehumanise them at all, is it?
No, that's it, yeah.
Or even get rid of the camps.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing really, of the way the world's going with, you know, our disdain for certain countries and things, really, and the way that sort of terrorist attacks are played and stuff like that. I think you could watch that film lots of times.
Yeah.
You know, and get lots of different little bits out of it that's sort of creeping up at the minute and things like that.
Yeah. I did think it was quite disturbing how close to kind of current times some of it is and things like that. You know, things like fake news was definitely, you know, in there. You know, which is something that's kind of really prevalent now. It's quite sort of disturbing.
I'd have to compare it to Black Mirror.
There's no way
I couldn't.
In the
feeling afterwards, the sort of the technology being very subtle in it. It's not a million miles away from now. You know, you look seeing a bus, but you're just seeing that little bit of extra technology added.
Mm-hmm.
That is how the future's going to be. It's not going to be fantastically different.
I felt part of that was deliberate, actually, that there wasn't as much technological innovation as perhaps you might have expected, pure because people would be like, well, why bother?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It was almost like...
part of that. The
there was going to be
up.
No future, was there? Yeah. So the human race was going to kind of die out within 100 years if there was no more births. So, yeah, like, just give up almost. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that was all in there, wasn't it, with, like, the suicide drugs or whatever that the government must have issued. So it's just like, yeah, everyone's kind of given up. And
it's a good what-if scenario, and it played on a number of different levels of like exposing you to things, and you think, actually, yeah, that's probably what would happen. And then partway through the film, when you go and see a school,
yeah,
and realize, oh yeah, it's derelict. Mm-hmm. Because why would there need to be a school anymore?
Yeah.
And swings, and you know, all these things that they would just fall into disuse. And
yeah,
I think that was playing on my mind with the film, and obviously it's about, you know, immigrants and things like that, would be the journey that somebody would take from, you know, at the moment from Syria or something, and having to go into different people's hands as they have to in the film, and sort of trust people that you know nothing about.
Yes.
And then discover, are these some people that are just working in your best interest, or are there somebody that wants to shaft you?
Kind of exploit you in some way or something. Yeah, I suppose it did capture that refugee element quite well,
you know, and that sort of started playing on us of, yeah, you know, what it must be like to put your hands, your life in somebody's hands that you just don't have a clue about, in a situation where, you know, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Small amount of the sort of 1% elitist thing in there. It was only slightly peppered in, though. Like, I think as he went from, you know, through the gates into a more secured area of London at one point, in the sort of playing at a bandstand in the park, and people walking camels and all sorts, you know, and it's like this, you know, lap of luxury and stuff.
And the same when he went to Battersea Power Station.
Yeah.
No, it was a nice touch having the pig there from Pink Floyd as well. Mm. I don't know. Well, obviously it was intentional. It was just a nice touch.
No, I didn't get that. Yeah. No, I didn't get that reference.
Well, that's the iconic picture of one of, I think it's the Animal album.
Ah, right.
One of the albums of Pink Floyd, anyway.
All right.
So that's why the pig was...
They've got that pig, and he's like a collector of the arts and everything like that.
They've floated that pig above Battersea. That's why most times when you see Battersea Power Station, there's a pig there.
Yeah.
Now, because most people try to recreate it.
I didn't get that one. There you go. So
you're not laughing, you're learning.
Phil, did you, since you've not seen it before, did you notice the shot as it was happening?
Which shot?
In the car.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Did you notice anything of
obviously importance, as in what happened, but no, not...
Right, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I remember it from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially, for anyone who's listening who didn't notice it, go back and rewatch the sequence in the car.
Yeah.
Where
Julianne Moore's character gets killed, isn't it? She's killed. Mm-hmm.
From somewhere before when they start playing with ping pong balls, through the entire scene, the ambush, the aftermath, all the way through, the police catching up with them,
until they get out of the car, and the police being shot,
till they get out of the car, until the car drives away, is one single continuous shot, which never cuts at all.
And the camera's like moving round like this inside the car.
The camera's turning inside the car, and when the police are killed, the camera man must get out the car with the camera and then stand, and I don't know where he was in the, you know, it felt like there wasn't any room for him in that car.
Yeah.
But it's just incredible, and it really makes you feel part of the action in a way that all these fast cuts in movies don't.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just an incredible shot, and I can't believe they managed to pull off all of that action sequence and all of the acting and everything in one shot. I mean, they must have done it a few times.
Yeah, they must have done a number of takes, but it's all one incredible
sequence.
And there's a few times in the movie where it's a constant shot. You know, I think where he's working his way through the refugee camp before he like makes his way into the taller building at the end.
Yes,
that's
a scene
all
where
kind of a constant
and it becomes
shot.
More obvious because you get the blood on the lens at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell from that it's a continuous shot for a while. I don't think that one's quite as long, but still quite impressive.
But definitely a lot sort of set up, I would guess, and do anything like that. And those But all of the shots sort of felt like that, where the camera is kind of almost like another person, and you know, where he's sneaking around outside. And,
yeah, there's
kind of interest in that.
Maybe to try and sell the realism, I don't know. Mm. I would be. I have the special features. I've never watched them, and I would be interested to know why they chose to do that way, because it must have been really difficult.
Yeah. It's almost like one of those shots that you want to know how it was done, but then once you know, it'll kind of break the magic in some way, because there's probably some really amazing way they've done it, you know, with rigs or there might have even been hidden cuts that you don't notice, or I don't know.
So yeah, it's definitely one to watch if you haven't watched it. I take it somebody's watching, if they've got this far, they'd be would have watched it anyway. But no, I think it's definitely one sort of to recommend to people. And it's a film I could quite easily watch. Watch once through in silence and then watch chattering with somebody about it, I think.
Almost commentary as you go is kind of interesting.
You know, because I think there's loads of bits I missed, especially sort of on the first few moments when you're in London.
Yeah.
And then the moments in the refugee camp.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I think there's a lot in there that'd be quite interesting and then sort of capturing that, these sort of places and things like that.
I would advise, obviously we're talking to someone who's probably watched it
I would
advise, probably it's one to maybe rent rather than buy, because I bought this after seeing it on DVD. I don't think, if I've watched it, I might have watched it twice,
right?
Once at the cinema, once on DVD maybe, but it's not one I've gone back to, and I think that's because it's it's generally a pretty bleak movie. It's not one you just kind of put on.
Yeah, don't put it on and cheer yourself up.
No, it's not. It's one of those films. Thankfully, it's not actually that long a movie. I was expecting long film. It's only 1 hour 45. 40
something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels longer.
Like I'm obviously not somebody that can think of, but would you class that as a very niche sort of film, do you think?
I don't think so. I think that's quite a... I think anybody could enjoy that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, probably more so now, and kind of again looking at how it maybe mirrors some of current times. I think the effects are amazing, the shots are really good. I don't think it's you know, dated over the course of 10 years.
I didn't know if it was a bit too bleak for
it. I suppose it technically falls into science fiction, but it's not really. It's just kind of a what if there was infertility in the world, and what if then there wasn't.
House has fallen down.
Ghost and that. Yeah, it's very much like one of those sort of what if. I mean, you reference Black Mirror or Twilight Zone. It's those sort of like, you know.
It's almost something. Yeah, you could just take a simple question, make an episode of TV on it or something. But obviously, movie length, movie budget, and
I really liked all those sort of things, and like the terminologies like Fuji and stuff like that, you know, which it didn't feel, again going back to your point of like not dumbing it down or anything, it didn't feel it needed to explain any of the language or the colloquialisms that were used in that world now, or, you know, you just got it, you just started to pick up what everything meant.
It was interesting that they chose, there are some quite graphic moments in it, but many of the graphic moments were very quick. You could blink and miss them. Like the initial bombing at the beginning, I think there was a lady holding her own arm walking out of that
thing. Yes, I think it was, yeah.
But it was so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the building at the end, I'm pretty sure there's somebody lying there with their legs blown off.
Yeah.
But again, it just kind of panned past it. But there was a scene where they were pulling people randomly, seemingly, off the buses, and you very much got the impression that they were all about to be shot.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? As it just like rolled along, and it went from people like standing to people on their knees, and then another group of people under tarps.
I kind of liked the fact that it didn't go to actually showing, you know, people being executed.
Yeah.
It gave you all enough ingredients for you to imagine that, probably worse in your own mind than they would have been able to show on screen.
Yeah.
But they didn't feel the need to actually show it. They just kind of led you along that road and said,
Shots of Guantanamo, all the different pictures that have come out from Guantanamo over the last past
year. I think that was that was it. All of it was sort of shock like that, but in your own, I mean, even to the very end where they're out on the boat and the jets come over and they're obviously bombing the place. I mean, obviously that place is just getting decimated now, you know, so.
That was the other interesting is, there was no distinct good guys, bad guys situation necessarily. You know, you kept...
It's a good point, yeah. There's lots really...
of different sides, but you didn't, apart from sort of the main characters, everybody else you just thought of...
Key and her baby were by default the good guys.
Yeah.
For no particular reason other than the fact that she had a baby.
Yeah.
She was the good person.
Yeah.
He was trying to help her for altruistic reasons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else mainly, were kind of... Some, they all had an angle.
It was just their all political or religious angle of some sort, wasn't it? Yeah.
Not like that would happen in places.
Yeah, I mean, that's
world at the moment.
Yeah, that's not at all mimicking in the world, yeah. Yeah, very good.
The Geordie guy was,
he
had an interesting character.
The biggest Geordie stereotype, and then he breaks into Blading Races as well.
Yeah,
at one
as
point,
he's executing people. That's fantastic.
How much of a Geordie stereotype can you get?
That was. In fairness, I believe it wasn't a total stereotype because I think he was wearing a jacket or a coat.
That's probably
And wasn't eating a Greg? I didn't see him eating a Greg.
No, there was no Greg.
So
yeah.
I mean, you know, they got some things wrong.
Yeah.
Mind in a dystopian future, maybe Geordies wear coats, I don't know.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I mean, you punched a couple of horses, wouldn't you?
There was a field of dead burning cows at one point, maybe that was his work.
Yeah, I was sort of trying to...
I'm not quite sure where that fitted into everything.
Yeah, I was just thinking, were they just burning off livestock because they don't need it anymore? Maybe just like getting rid of it because they don't need the food?
Yeah, it could be.
You know? Yeah. I didn't really get the... whole destroying the livestock thing.
That looked cool.
It looked dystopian.
It certainly fitted with the film, but yes, I'm not sure why they did.
It makes things more bleaker.
Yeah. Well, yet again, I think it was another enjoyed movie and probably a good recommendation.
Your baby is the miracle the whole world has been waiting for.
We will find a way to get you to the Human Project, I promise you.
We're almost there, Keith. We're almost there.
Facebook, it's facebook.com/formalshark. We're at our website, www.formalshark.co.uk.
Okay, well, next time we're going to be watching the movie I, Daniel Blake,
yeah.
I believe. So that's our movie next time. So keep an eye on the feed for that one.